So what do you say? Okay, so what do you say? We can start with you, Kurt. What do you say to an African American who is curious, doesn't have a church home, you know, looking for a church home, or is interested in the vision of building a multi-ethnic church? But you know that to come into a community is difficult. There's tensions, as we talked about. What do you say? Like, just what's the one thing you would say? I'm putting you on the spot a little bit.
Sure.
And if this doesn't work, we'll edit it out. So, sure. You know. But what do you say?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think some of the things we've already said in this particular conversation. For example, I probably would take some time to try to encourage the person that what they're getting ready to walk into may not look like the church setting that they're accustomed to, and that there's necessarily going to be a need for some patience. I would take time to do that, because I think, particularly for African Americans, just as for whites, there is a particular way that African Americans are, in most cases, accustomed to doing church, and those things are high value issues for them. So I would just start with that, like, come with an open mind, right? But I think what's also important is just what you shared with Michael, is just to be honest and say, this is who we are now, but this is not who we want to be when we're all done.
Yeah, Christ is not leaving us where we are.
And I think where the proof will be in the pudding is after a person's given us a try for a while, that they can see tangible ways that we are moving towards a more, a more faithful expression of ethnic diversity. So I just think I would start by being honest with them about who we are. We, at this point, we are a predominantly white church. We're growing in our diversity every weekend. I'm excited about that.
Yes.
But I would want to tell them that. Like, we're not there yet, right? We're growing in our diversity, in our music style, our worship styles, but we're not there yet, right? We're growing in diversity with regard to the leadership of the church, and we're not where we want to end yet. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I would start, with just by
I love it.
Saying those things.
Yeah. What you think, Michael?
Wow. I would encourage them to stay the course. I would encourage them to stay the course. And I would use my story as a testimony to that. I think as Christians, and I had to weigh both things when I came, I had to look at it as, am I coming just to become a member, which is yes, and also am I coming kind of like as a pioneer or something, and it's yes to that as well. Because when we come into the body of Christ as believers, we are reconcilers. You know, we are coming because we've been reconciled to Christ.
Right.
So what we're doing is we're reconciling situations and everything back to the gospel. The gospel is the thing that we live by. But we want them to understand that we want to be reconciled with one another as the body of Christ. And in Ephesians 4, and I want to read this because I thought about this as y'all were talking. Ephesians 4:1, and I'm going to read, and it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness and with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Our jobs is to walk in love and to know that we're walking with each other as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And when we understand that, we see that we have that commonality with Christ. And so as we go through our difficult moments, as we go through our challenges in understanding each other as in a multi-ethnic church, we have to always understand that we were once sinners.
Yeah.
We were once cast off. We were once far off. But by the blood of Christ, we've been drawn near. And because we've been drawn near to him, I can draw near to you. And because you've been forgiven, I can forgive you as well.
He does not treat us according to our iniquities.
He doesn't.
He doesn't deal with us in that way. And
right.
So being compelled by that love,
mm-hmm.
we don't have to treat each other according to our own iniquities.
That's right.
We love because he first loved
us. Yes.
And so the gospel is what gave you the persevering grace, really, to stick with it.
To continue.
Right. And to continue.
Right.
Yeah.